Alan Rickman began his career on the stage with the Royal Shakespeare Company in England, but most North American audiences probably know Alan Rickman from decadently overwrought, villainous film roles like Die Hard and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Well, this time John Wayne does not walk off into the sunset with Grace Kelly.
It's Gary Cooper, asshole.
Robin Hood steals money from my pocket, forcing me to hurt the public. And they love him for it?
Yes.
That's it. Cancel the kitchen scraps for lepers and orphans. No more merciful beheadings. And call off Christmas.
In Hollywood, Alan Rickman has made a career out of playing flamboyant villains, but in two recent British films, Truly, Madly, Deeply, and the soon-to-be-released Close My Eyes, he plays the kind of complex roles he was trained for in the theater. Alan Rickman joins me now in the studio. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Can you tell me what it was that attracted you to the stage initially?
Oh, I don't know. It's something that you fight off. For as long as possible, or sometimes. I mean, maybe some people go straight towards it, but I was fending it off for a long time. Although I think there's a kind of inevitability probably about doing something like acting or singing or dancing or any of those crafts or arts or whatever word it is that you apply. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while. There were other things that got in the way, but I think I probably knew that I would act from time that I was a child.
And can you tell me, I know that it's probably difficult to boil down, Alan, but what is it that one learns for the most part in drama school that is most useful to an actor?
Hopefully you learn about yourself. I was very reluctant to go to drama school because I thought, well, oh, this whole technique thing, they'll stick all sorts of things onto me and I won't be me and I'll be like a sausage in a sausage factory, you know, pushing out so many actors. Of course, the reverse is true, and technique, such as it is not an imposition. It's something that frees you so that you can hopefully move off in any direction. It's not, this is how I speak, this is how I move, this is my style. It's just, in a way, you understand what are you get to know what your own bad habits are.
Mm-hmm.
The things that get in the way of your imagination. And so that, I think, is what technique is about. It's about getting rid of your own bad habits so that your imagination can actually produce tangibly what's going on in your head when mm-hmm. you read a script.
And is that a process that is restricted to drama school, or is that also something you refine once you graduate and become a professional actor?
Oh, I think a lot of the best lessons that you get from drama school you don't realize until like 10 years later. You're in the middle of a rehearsal room, you go, oh, I see. That's what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, it's not a cramming factory. You just have to stay as open as possible while you're there and make as many mistakes as possible. Be as bad as you possibly can be. And you will. And it gives you some armory
mm-hmm.
for the years ahead, I think.
Why were you attracted to stage work? You worked on the stage for a long time before you made films.
Well, we don't have a film industry, so you don't have any choice in the matter,
mm-hmm.
frankly. So you don't really think in any other terms. You just assume that's what you're going to do, and maybe you'll do some television if you're lucky, and an occasional movie might just happen along, but... No, I mean, these two films are now little miracles, really. Of the British film industry saying, I'm still here,
mm-hmm.
I can still do it. Will somebody please invest in me? Will a government come along and decide that it's common sense to invest in me because, you know, there's a big returns that could come back here. But so far, they haven't made that little mental leap.
And how does someone find themselves making the leap from there to Hollywood in a movie like Die Hard? What were you doing at the time that you got that offer, and how did it come your way?
Well, I suppose my theatre work culminated in going back to the RSC in 1985 with Juliet Stevenson, in fact. We were in the company together there, and we both did the first production of Les Liaisons Dangereuses together.
Mm-hmm.
She left it after a year. I took it into the West End and then to Broadway. And there you go. I mean, it was on Broadway. It was a huge success. And the producer of Die Hard was brought to see it. And then when I went out to Hollywood at the end of the Broadway run, just to say hello, and this is me, and I'm here for a couple of weeks. It's one of those stories that you think only happens in comic books, really. I was mm-hmm. there 2 days, and they asked me to do Die Hard. And again, they caught me at the right time. I'd just done this show for 8 times a week for on and off 2 years. And it's like banging your head against a brick wall. It's wonderful when you stop. And mm-hmm. stopping was doing Die Hard, in a sense. It was an opportunity to go to Los Angeles. The child in you comes out because it's a big movie and you're in Hollywood and it's playtime. And you don't have to do it every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some days off and sunshining.
You seem to be having an enormous amount of fun in that film. Were you when you were making it?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hadn't ever made a film before. You know, I mean, I was like a child in F.A.O. Schwartz. It was great fun. Because I could be... It was sort of irresponsible again, you know. And as it turns out, it was risky, you know. You're seeing all this violence and mayhem going on and you're thinking, oh, my God, what am I in? But actually, as it turns out, I think it's a really great film. It's really well made.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite subversive in its way, you know. Okay, there's only one, there's like a token female, but she's running the thing. The black characters are all very intelligent and positive. They might also be not exactly on the side of right and the law, but
yeah.
But they're not stupid and they're not caricatured. And in subtle ways, that film fights a few battles.
And as that was your first film experience, were you able to draw upon any of your theatrical background to round out the character of Hans, or did you feel that it was in any way necessary given the new context in which you were working?
I guess you try to make, you try to make characters as real as possible, as three-dimensional as possible, given that it's a pretty two-dimensional kind of a movie and that it's not... We don't want to know about the inner workings of his psyche. We just know whether he's going to get away with it or not, mm-hmm. really. And is he interesting? And do we want to watch him? And is he the right sort of bookend to Bruce Willis?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the job, is to, you know, make another bookend. So I was able to influence the character, actually to quite a large extent, because of a logic that I applied, I suppose, and then asked questions and forced the logic through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why have you got him dressed in terrorist gear when he doesn't get his hands dirty and he's got all these people around to do the mucky stuff? So eventually I got a suit, and that was the right bookend to Bruce, because he was going to be in a T-shirt and mm-hmm. sweat. And then once one was in a suit, it became possible to push the notion that they should meet. If I'd been dressed in terrorist gear, we couldn't have had the scene where we met, and I pretended to be one of my own hostages.
Mm-hmm.
So that influenced the film quite directly.
Are there different demands that are placed on you as an actor in Hollywood than the demands that are placed on you as a stage actor in Britain?
Probably externally. Although they still want you to come out with the goods. And I guess they'd better be there in rushes, otherwise there's an awful lot of money riding on a big Hollywood movie. And I think although people wear very expensive suits and look very confident, they still need to see it in rushes.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is pretty undefinable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This marriage between a script, actors and a director. It's something that producers in Hollywood and the executives like to think they understand, but I think a lot of the time they've got their fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get proved wrong so often, you know? They'll put what they call box office names in a project and it bombs. I would like to see far more examples of truly, madly, deeply's coming along and being successful in Hollywood against all the odds. You know, Baghdad cafes and pictures like that. Because then Hollywood can help to prove that people need to be told stories rather than be manipulated by greedy individuals.
And why do you suppose, Alan, that kind of storytelling happens so seldom in Hollywood?
Well, because something like Die Hard and Robin Hood, to a certain extent, they're written to formulas, and they're very much about making money back. They cost a lot of money to make. They've got to make the money back. So therefore, there are certain requirements and ingredients that they figure should be there. With Truly, Madly, Deeply, and Close My Eyes, they're the complete personal vision of the writer-director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all there was a blank piece of paper and a typewriter. Somewhere down the line, that gets turned into a movie. Nobody got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else's vision.
Mm-hmm. How do you imagine those films might have been made differently if they had been made in Hollywood, or would they have even been made in Hollywood?
Well, I suppose a lot of people have said, it's the thinking person's ghost, Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very different films, and I don't think it doesn't really hurt to compare them. You know, if you enjoyed Ghost, you will enjoy Truly, Madly, Deeply. If you didn't enjoy Ghost, you will enjoy Truly, Madly, Deeply.
I see.
But they, you know, Hollywood is very different from the miniseries world. It's the thing that always amazes me about, you know, what you can do on television and how careful they are and this, that and the other. And actually, Hollywood will, you know, it's got Scorsese and it's got Coppola and it's got some great, great filmmakers who are very daring. You think of a film like Taxi Driver and you think, well, how much more daring do you want? How much more on the edge do you want? They're perfectly capable of doing it and keep doing it. But then again, you see, what you have is filmmakers who are not interfered with. It's the problem arises when there are too many opinions from too many people in suits. And opinions is all they have.
Yeah.
And so the film gets diluted. So if you had a film about incest being done with, you know, five or six producers, it's going to be fit for the top of a chocolate box by the time they've finished.
And I wonder, how do you foresee your future involvement with Hollywood? You have maintained your work on the stage. You are making films in Britain. Can you imagine what your future relationship with Hollywood will be?
Well, I hope it continues. I've got absolutely no qualms whatsoever about entertaining the public. You know, I think that's fine. People don't need to be lectured at all the time. I hope they're told good stories, and I hope that even within a big budget cartoon movie, I'm not sure that I'm going to do any more of those, but if I were, I hope that it's possible to be subversive within them, just to gently pull the rug out from people's preconceptions and make them kind of just look at the screen from a slightly different angle. If you can, you know, it's a huge responsibility and power to do that to millions and millions and millions of people rather than just in an art house cinema. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but that big one exists, and so let's put it in the hands of a few subversives, is what I think.
Joining me in the studio this evening has been actor Alan Rickman. His films include Die Hard, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Close My Eyes, Closet Land, and Truly, Madly, Deeply. Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you.